The horizon is wide and the highway is calling. That means it's time for another episode of American Road Trip Talk. I'm your host, Gary Mance, with a welcome and an invitation to travel the byways and back roads of yesteryear, searching for America in every incomparable mile. Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen. So happy to have you with us. Today's going to be a special day for us. We are going to talk to the very esteemed, the very famous, the very beloved Joanne Worley. In her capacity as president of Actors and Others for Animals, we want to take our pets on our trips. Road trip with your best friends, your animal friends. Of course you want to do that, and you want to do it in the right way, the smart way. Before we get to that, we want to say hello to Thomas Arthur Rep. He is co-founder of American Road. Thomas, glad to have you with us.
It's always good to be here, Gary.
I found out we were going to have a celebrity guest. Once again, it was time to call Thomas and bring you in, the big gun. So we're delighted to have you with us. I know you have your questions and your reminiscences ready. We also want to say a quick hello to our producer, Eric Ryder, always doing a great job for us, preparing the show, and he's operating the board as well. Here we are, ready to talk to Joanne Worley, who needs no introduction, but she's going to get one anyway. And we'll do all that and commence our conversation. Joanne Worley, you and your road tripping pets, that's coming up right after this. The first stop on any Utah road trip, Utah.com. Utah.com has itineraries for every corner of the state. Discover where you can drive under a vibrant vermilion arch. Find a turquoise lake and the best raspberry shakes around. Or marvel at aspens aglow in autumn. Wherever you go, the drive is as awesome as the destination. So throw your bag in the boot of your Beetle or pack the snacks in your Mini Winnie and hit the road with tips from the crew at Utah.com.
Alternative Talk 1150, the talk of the sound.
Welcome back, everyone. Joanne Worley's instinctive comedic timing and irrepressible laugh has made her a favorite of audiences everywhere. Her work runs the gamut from television, movie, and stage productions to game shows, talk shows, commercials, cartoons, and opera. Most currently, Joanne starred with a celebrated cast in the New York City Center's Encores, production of Stephen Sondheim's legendary Follies. She had a successful Broadway run in The Drowsy Chaperone and the Los Angeles production of Wicked. She also has guest starred on Bones, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jesse, and The Middle. And here she is in the middle of a conversation with us about to be. Joanne Worley, we're so happy to have you with us.
Well, thank you. My attempt.
There we go. You are primed. You are ready to go.
Yes, yes, I'm ready. The only thing you left out was the Academy Award-winning movie that I did for Disney, where I played the wardrobe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. There's no end to you and your productivity. You actually are an inspiration to so many people who either are in show business or who aspire to such a career. And I have to tell you, Joanne, and I know we're going to get into proper care of animals, our wonderful animal companions, our pets, in just a moment.
Okay.
But I remember being in, oh gosh, it must have been eighth grade, about to go into ninth grade, when I caught the laugh-in bug, and what an extraordinary phenomenon that was. I never missed a show. I even got the magazine that they published about. It was a laugh-in magazine.
Oh, yeah.
I had all the gear, and there you were every week making America laugh out loud.
Well, you must know that one of the secrets of that show was that all the people on the show were having so much fun. We were enjoying it just as much as the people watching it, and we were each other's audience because, you know, it filmed all day and all night sometimes, and so a studio audience would not have to sit there, but people would come in from time to time and tours and things like that, so we would have an audience, but mainly we were each other's audience for other cast members when they'd be trying something out, and, you know, so you could get your timing from laughter, from laughs.
Oh, sure. And the show always put out such a great vibe. I'm going back to 60s talk now. A great vibe. And it was always such a pleasure. There was even a long play record that I bought. So when I wasn't watching, I could listen on my record player in my bedroom.
Exactly.
So, yes, I was
exactly.
A fan. Yes, you were going to say.
It came on the air. You said you were in the 10th grade?
I was just going to start high school.
Yeah. Well, what year was that?
That would have been 1968.
That was when we did what was called a special, but it was actually a pilot. And then we came in mid-season of 69.
And came in with a bang.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think anybody was quite ready for what they were going to witness on television. Wall-to-wall comedy, even going to the NBC tone, to the sound of applause when the show was over. That was different.
Yes, and that applause happened to be Carolyn Raskin. She was a production assistant, and she was in the editing room when it was done, and she just applauded, and they said, "That sounds good. Let's put it in."
So I love that. That is great.
Carolyn Raskin.
Thomas Arthur Rep is with us on another. He's Skyped in with us. He's the big cheese at American Road Magazine. Thomas, this is Joanne Worley, and she is here with us in order to, she's very kindly reminiscing about Laugh-In, but of course we want to talk to her principally about the fantastic work she does. It is, I call it humanitarian work, but the animal kingdom gets the most out of her efforts at Actors and Others for Animals, and I'm happy that you encouraged me to set up this interview, Thomas.
Yes, I wanted to mention, Joanne was talking about that very memorable role of the wardrobe. And I want to let her know, I just saw that the other day because I happen to have a four-year-old in the house.
Oh.
And our four-year-old's favorite film is Beauty and the Beast. So I had to get that in before we started because it's such an iconic role for you. And you're just so perfect. Your voice is so perfect for that part. So I didn't know if anybody actually said Beauty and the Beast on air, but that's the wardrobe film and it's absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. And I must tell you, if you notice the wardrobe, because they film you while you're doing the lines, and the animators try to, you know, pick up some of the traits of the person whose voice it is, and if you'll notice, the wardrobe has very long eyelashes.
Yes.
Because I would always wear my eyelashes.
Doing so much. They're big screen, small screen, on the stage, doing talk shows, game shows, of course. You're famous in so many avenues of popular entertainment. Joanne, it amazes me, as it does a lot of people, that you had the experience. It seemed like one night you pulled up some carpet at a meeting where there was a group either underway or about to be underway for Actors and Others for Animals. And attending that one meeting, as I understand it, man, you were hooked.
Absolutely. I had my good friend, Jackie Joseph, and she was on the board, one of the founding members, and Doris Day was involved at that time and a lot of other actors. And I just saw that their work is good. Their mission is really a spay and neuter, because that's at the crux of animals not having good homes. You know, if they spay and neuter. So we help people with that, and they can go to actorsandothers.com if they're interested. And also we help with veterinarian bills, which you probably know are, you're going to the hospital with the person. It's when you take your dog to the vet, the bills are enormous. So we help with that. That's kind of our mission.
And always open to donations from those who are generous on behalf of their animals and others who understand what it means. And there's a point to be made in a second, but I did want to repeat. It's actorsandothers.com. I encourage everyone to go there and see what this wonderful organization is all about. Joanne, I wanted to mention to you, I found out something because I know that the organization owes a great debt, of course, to Jackie Joseph, whom you mentioned,
uh-huh.
Also the wonderful Earl Holloman.
Oh, and those I just two talked to Earl the other day.
Earl passed away?
No, I just talked to him the other day.
Oh. My heart skipped a beat. Okay, because I was looking him up. I looked up on Wikipedia, believe it or not, Jackie Joseph and Earl Holloman. Glad they're both still with us, thank goodness.
Oh, yes.
What I found out is that they have something profound in common, and I think it speaks to their compassion. Both Jackie Joseph and Earl Holloman were born when their biological fathers had passed away months before their birth. I was very surprised to learn that, but what it told me is that when you have a void in your life, when you're born into a situation that people would not expect to be in, and they come to realize, wow, I don't have my biological father, it leaves a void. I also think it creates an opportunity for compassion that can be uniquely filled by giving love to animal companions, and that's lasted the two of them for a lifetime.
Well, that's a very interesting tidbit. I knew that about Jackie's father, but I didn't know that about Earl's.
Yes, as I recall, Earl's biological father passed away 7 months before he was born.
Oh, dear.
And then he was adopted out. All of the kids were in that family. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, that would put me on a search to receive compassion. But then it seems almost inevitably we would look for opportunities to express it to because to be without in that fundamental way would open your heart to sharing love with animals. And God knows there are animals in this world aplenty who need the love of human companions.
And especially now when we're pretty much in lockdown, our animals are our main, well, my animal, and I have another rescue and who goes everywhere with me. So we can talk about traveling with our pets because my audition for my new animal, I say new, I've had him about a year now, was to get into the cloth purse that I carry him in on my shoulder. And it's made out of material so that it can breathe as opposed to plastic or leather or something like that. And he's just such a good boy. He goes everywhere with me.
And that's your Yorkie or a new animal?
The new animal, I love him so much. Cupid is his name. My Yorkie was Harmony, God lover. And now I have Cupid. That was his given name. And when I saw him on Channel 7, he was the pet of the week. And I said, that's my dog. I knew it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I took the bag, and he got in the bag and on my shoulder, and off we went.
And he's just wonderful.
That
takes us to perhaps the main topic of this broadcast, which is people loving their pets and wanting to be on the road with them safely and keeping everything from diet and exercise to veterinary care. If, God forbid, that became necessary, you'd want to know what to do. Or even something as relatively mundane, Joanne, as finding places, and I think you're an expert on this, finding places where you can stay, where your pets will be welcome, because let's face it, not everybody who owns a hotel wants pets around, unfortunately.
Well, I wouldn't go to that hotel if they did not accept my pet. I wouldn't be there.
No, so, I don't blame you at all. You know, I can tell you stories about my own travels, especially when I moved from Los Angeles to Seattle there and was heading up there that whole California coast and then the I-5. And it seemed like we had a devil of a time, me and my partner at the time, finding a place each night where they would take pets. And more than once, we snuck the pets up the back stairs while I was distracting the clerk at the desk.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Make a distraction. Well, I have had, little dogs, so it's easy to sneak them in.
Yes, that's right. We had two Yorkies, as a matter of fact, and a cat.
It was quite the adventure. Oh, boy, you had your hands full. I heard this, and I haven't had a cat, except when I was growing up. And I hear that when you travel with a cat or you change residence, you take a little bit of olive oil and just put a dot of it on the cat's nose. And somehow that doesn't make the cat try and get back to its old home.
Wow. Okay. Well, I had never heard that before. That's some pretty good advice. I've always heard that cats don't travel particularly well. Doggies, of course, always want to be with you, but cats are much more territorial in that way. Thomas,
absolutely.
When you make a living, and a very nice one, telling people how to travel to best effect, to make every bit of travel an adventure whenever possible, do you travel with animals, you and Becky, or do you have people ask you, how do I handle this situation? I got two dogs and a cat, and we're not in an RV, so what do I do?
Well, honestly, I'm a wiener dog guy.
I'm a long-time wiener dog owner,
and I've been everywhere with Becky, and I've traveled cross-country numerous times with anywhere from 2 to 4 wiener dogs in tow.
Oh,
I highly recommend it. It's great to have them along. If they're smaller, I think that you have an easier time. Joanne mentioned that hotels now, motels are, I think, much more accommodating, especially in the last 10 years of people bringing pets. But we never really had a problem with that. We would make sure that, you know, we stopped about every hour or so and got out and let those little pups, you know, walk around on a leash at a rest stop. You know, we would try to make sure that they got that exercise. We had little crates. We would take them and we would crate them to go in and out of the hotel. And sometimes we'd actually have to put a little blanket over the crate going in or out so they wouldn't panic when they saw all of these people, because our wiener dogs were a little bit high strung. But once you got them into the hotel, you let them out of the crate, they were fine. It would be like they were at home. They were with you. And I think that's an important part of it. You know, how comfortable they are with their caretaker. So, I mean, we've had so many wonderful times traveling cross country with wiener dogs. Like I say, I'm a wiener dog guy.
Well, I think we should, Thomas, because you're the head, the president, is that why your name is Thomas and not Tom?
No, my name's Thomas because I was, true story, side note. My name is Thomas because I was named after my father. And when I was very young, my parents sat me down and said, you can be Tommy or you can be Thomas, but you can't be Tom because that's your dad. So okay. That's how I ended up with Thomas. That's a true story.
Oh, that's great.
Joanne, when you plan to go, and please share with us a little bit about your own travel planning. This is going to be helpful to a lot of people who really want their pets with them. Do you look for places that offer something of a concierge service rather than simply a kennel, or okay, they can be in the room?
As I said, I would research the hotel. It's easier now with Google and everything. You can find out so much information. And you would just, if they're pet friendly, I don't need a concierge because I'm the one. I don't want anyone else walking my dog.
Right.
No. I get to do that. And I take their dishes, you know, their food and water dishes with them, and a blankie. Or because I have such a little dog, I can take their little dog bed.
Yep.
And I always find it that I have to, because I have a little dog. Maybe you did this with your wiener dog, Thomas. You have to have a footstool because my doggies sleep on my bed. And even with the dog bed on the bed and the dog is in it, but they have to jump up pretty high sometimes. And I find that hotel beds are getting higher and higher as they make it easier for the people to get in and out of bed. So I always have to look for a footstool situation in the room. And sometimes I would have to call down and ask if there was something to put at the foot of the bed, you know, to kind of break up the jump for the dog. Yeah. Sometimes you can take the chair that is at the desk and turn it sideways and, you know, so that the dog doesn't have to jump that high.
Actually got a puppy ramp that we would use, would take it, and we would let them, you know, access the bed via ramp.
Yes.
On those times that we forgot the ramp at home, they were trained well. Wiener dogs are, you know, they're pretty short-legged.
Oh, yeah.
And they would know not to jump off of a bed unless we lifted them off. So if we didn't have the ramp with us, we would just lift them onto the bed and lift them off. But, yeah, they always slept in the bed. I mean, that's what a little dog's for, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to be careful not to roll over on them.
Well, that's absolutely true.
I had a ramp situation that I used for a doggy, and I found that actually I had it made. Did you buy yours or did you make it, Thomas?
We bought ours.
Yeah. Well, now people are doing it. And I find the Sherpa bag when we did airplanes, and, you know, you have to check with the airlines because they have different rules for your in-cabin doggies. I travel on airplanes with a Sherpa bag that fits underneath the seat in front of me. So I always have I would never ship my dog in luggage compartment. No.
I can imagine that would be a big problem with stress, particularly if you're getting on an airplane, and particularly today. It would require some strategy to handle this situation well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And your best friend, again, there is the Google feature for each airline has kind of different rules and regulations. And
yes,
obviously, I'm sure your pet is up to date on its shots and everything, because that will be the first thing that they want to see and know.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I found that if you make sure that the doggy has a bathroom break just before you board the plane.
Ah, yeah. Yes.
And a little thing to put the water in. But the Sherpa bag has a little give to it, and it's got to be big enough so that the pet can stand up and turn around in it. It can't be, you know, squeezed into a smaller bag than the doggy is.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And one last point I think that is salient here, when uh-huh. you're going to be traveling for any length of time, whether there are preconditions or not, Joanne, do you look on Google, or perhaps you know people in various towns where you're headed, whether you're flying or driving, do you keep a list of veterinarians where you know the best care is available?
What I would do would be I would call back to the Actors and Others for Animals office, and I would say, I'm in Seattle. What's the best vet, you know, in this area? That's what I would do.
And there's some very good vets in Seattle. I lived there for almost 22 years and knew my share of them, as a matter of fact, being a pet owner. And yet that's a great place if you need a vet, no matter which part of town you're in. That is for sure.
I'll call you, Ben.
I'm sorry?
I'll call you.
Yes, well, that's right. Yeah, the go-to guy when Joanne Worley needs a good vet reference. I'm happy to provide it. Thank you for your faith in me. Well, that's wonderful.
Oh,
we have just
tip,
a few minutes left.
That I'm sure you already know is don't forget to pack a flashlight for when you have to walk your doggy at night and
yes.
you're in an area that, you know, you don't know that well, and you don't know what the lights are, and so that you can see your way around and see that there's not anything there to that your dog can get into. And the other thing is check the hotel or motel room for roach bait. They sometimes put them underneath a bed or something where you wouldn't see it, but the doggy might find it.
Yes, in fact, they're quite inquisitive, so that could be the case. Same would apply to cats, of course. Well, all of this is wonderful advice. And we so much enjoy getting to know you a little bit, Joanne. You've had such a stellar career, such a long career, and so varied. It's wonderful. I would be remiss if I did not turn it over to Thomas at this moment, because there is one particular skit from one particular episode of Laugh-In that just sent him rollicking, and he's thought of it all these decades. He's never forgotten it. Would you like to address that with Joanne Worley, Thomas?
Oh, I was just, he's talking about, we talked about this a little bit earlier, Gary and I. Laugh-In did a tribute once to the Family Car, and they did a large musical skit. It was Me and My Family Car. They actually gave you the line, "We have a horn with the loudest auga." And it's really funny, but there's a skit afterwards, and I always think about it whenever I have car trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's you, Goldie Hawn, and I think Ruth Buzzy driving
yes.
along in a car,
uh-huh.
and something happens to the car and you're stranded. And someone says, there must be something wrong with the car potato. And someone else says, no, it's the generation. And then the third person chimes in and says, no, it has to be the cylinders. So my question to you is, with all your travels, are you a car person or are you more of a car potato person? Because I'm more of a car potato person. Even though I travel a lot, I don't know a lot of the mechanics. And I just wanted to ask you that question.
Well, I happen to have a very excellent mechanic. So I, you know, turn all those things over to him. But when I was in high school, I bought my first car because I worked at a truck stop on Highway 41 and Route 2, and I was able to buy my own car. And the truck stop was attached to a gas station. So if I needed any help with my carburetor, then they could help me.
And I think we need to pay some homage to the wonderful writing team, because as I read, and I think it was in TV Guide all those years ago, and I've never forgotten it, the writers would say, not necessarily plaintively, but it was just a point of fact, that they were worked, because of the wall-to-wall comedic nature of Laugh-In, they were worked to exhaustion on a weekly basis.
Oh, God, yes. And not only that, but they were put up at a, away from the office and away from the studio, they were put up in a motel in Burbank. And they would write, some of them would write jokes on the wall. So George Slaughter, the producer, had to have the, you know, that suite repainted. And he said to the writers, please, please don't write on the walls. So they wrote on the ceiling. That really happened.
Oh, my goodness. I never heard that one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they were quite a bunch of, as you must know, funny people. A lot of funny people. And we, the performers, were encouraged to contribute ideas or jokes or whatever. As a matter of fact, on the Laugh-In special, I did a bit that I had from my nightclub act, which was a ventriloquist bit where I'm just a terrible ventriloquist. You see my lips move and my mouth and everything. And I smoke a cigarette and drink the water and stop singing, you know. But so everybody was encouraged to contribute also.
Because, and I just have to ask you this, because I lost track. Poor Judy Carn. Judy Carn was wet about half the time, it seems to me, doing those shows. How many times did you get hit with the bucket of water?
I didn't mind the bucket of water as much as I minded going through the trap door.
That's okay.
Scary. Have you ever gone through a trap door?
No, I have not.
Ah, you have to be careful not to spread your arms out or your arms will break off. You have to make sure that your arms go up. I remember I was singing something at the grand piano, which I do. And by the way, Billy Barnes always wrote all those special tributes to the car and, you know, whatever the special material music was. Billy Barnes did that. And he would always accompany when I would stand by the grand piano and sing. And then I forget what I was singing. And at one point, Artie Johnson comes in dressed like a fireman, you know, with a big fire hose. It wasn't a bucket of water. It was a fire hose full of water.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was pretty
You brought
drenching.
So much joy to so many people and to so many animals as well, Joanne Worley. We honor you, and we're delighted that you joined us today. I hope our paths will cross again.
I do, too, my dear. And take care of your carbonator.
Well said.
Will do.
Thanks for tuning into American Road Trip Talk, everyone. Along with Thomas Arthur and Becky Rapp, co-founders of American Road Magazine, we remind you to visit our website, AmericanRoadMagazine.com, to preview the current issue of American Road. Until next week, dream well and drive safely on the American Road.